The days have been very, very full. So there are like, I'm sure many of you can relate, multiple deadlines for major work pieces, things that need to be cleared by bosses, emails that need to be staffed, details that some of my team members have been working on while I was on leave. Then I had to come back and make sure that, you know, it's all been done correctly. I also had all these last minute work bombs that would drop on me, right? And at times, my heart that was steadied by family camp lessons and reminders, and I made promises to God, right, during family camp at consecration, these things started to falter during the week. I could sense that carnal self seething to the surface, like bubbling under the surface, and all the carnal thoughts started to come, and that resulted and manifested in some words that are not exactly very gracious, not exactly very wise. And so I asked myself, what happened to the key lesson of sanctifying my heart with God? Pastor drew so many hearts, right? Like, after all the hearts that he drew, surely it should ring very clearly in my memory. But my heart was filled with other things, and though God may feature, but he was definitely quite small in my heart. So what I thank God for each night was I endeavoured to reduce my drama watching, my Instagram scrolling, my doom scrolling time, and I replaced them with an extended time with God. That was one of my promises to God. So each night I will come to a different family camp lesson or recording. I reread my notes and passage that was studied. I scribbled Psalm 86, verses 11 to 12, about uniting my heart. Pastor Mitch was sharing that with my Bible study class. It's a song. It's called Undivided. It's a very old song, which we will not sing today. but the verse is related to that. And I scribbled it on the post-it. I was so desperate, right? Put it on post-it, paste it on my work laptop so that I can stare at it while I'm at work. I also started to write post-camp reflections. And actually, then Tuesday, Wednesday, the day started to get better as I walked with the Lord each day. I could watch my own spirit closer. I could watch my thoughts. I could watch my words. Then on Thursday, the ultimate test came. My boss informed me that for a certain piece of work, the work that I did and will continue to do, it's not done yet, I will continue to do, will not be attributed to me because of my designation. I know I'm very cryptic. The work piece is confidential, so I can't share more. So I'm just going to show you the next slide. So this conversation is between my two bosses. So you can see, I asked her pointedly whether I can put my name down for the work. And then she said no, was insistent. I will draft everything out, but my boss will send it out under her name. So she said, this person doesn't want LY, that's me, to staff. So she wants you because you're a specialist. Because of my designation, I'm not a specialist. So then my boss was very nice. This is a convo with me and my boss. And you can see that she was very apologetic about it. She gave me instructions. But I think what I wanted to share was here, my response. And previously, my pride would have left me really indignant. This time, there was no indignance. And I surprised myself as there was a definite sense of peace as I immediately sought the Lord to ensure that my carnal and human spirit, that pride does not come. And I chose to focus on doing the work to the Lord, and I chose to let go of the pride, the recognition, and just to focus on his promises and his love. I actually jokingly explained that, it has been 1 week since camp, so I should be on my best behavior, right? Like, I should be on my best conduct. And I reminded her of what her WhatsApp status, she's a Christian as well, said to do it unto God and not unto men. So as I continue to dwell on the lessons of family camp, I'm reminded that that daily seeking of the Lord, that daily cleansing, that daily sanctifying is the only way to help us cope with the different challenges of life, of work, and of ministry. So I'm keeping this verse from Hosea close to me. To sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And I just can only hope and pray that this daily seeking of the Lord, this change in my scheduling, will help me to enlarge the place of God in my heart as I learn to sanctify Him. So the song that I've chosen today to sing with all of you is a familiar VIP favorite called Seekers of Your Heart. And the song lyrics reminds us that it's until we give you first place, until we let you begin. And may this time of post-family camp be a time where I can realign my priorities in my heart. So let's take this song together.
Okay, thank you, Lianya, for sharing those things. Recognize, never easy to practice what we have learned, especially from camp, but good to keep persevering on, and whatever circumstances you find yourself in life. All right, well, let's pray, and then we can begin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to help us to learn from your words. We pray that you will enlighten us, even as we seek to find greater wisdom in what we say, in the words that we use. Pray that you will bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, before I forget, we also want to welcome someone. Luke has brought his friend, Christine. Is it? You want to introduce her before we take up the Lord's word?
This is Christine. Hi. She's also a teacher.
All right, yay. Well done. Continue to mold the future generation. Okay, let's take up the Lord's word. Ecclesiastes 10, right? The last time we met, we talked about how we ought to be wise and careful in the course of our work. We encourage each other to be that much more excellent in what we do, and also having that wisdom to find success. And I think that's crucial and important. It is ultimately the Lord who will bless, and it is the Lord that would bring about that success. So now let's look at today's text, which is verse 11 to 15. Now, today we will continue looking at Solomon's proverbial sayings. These are wise sayings that he has sought to understand and write down. And today we're going to talk about the use of the tongue. We did talk about this before, yet I think it's crucial for us to learn to have wisdom in what we say to each other, to others. Absolutely a crucial thing for us to learn. Now, verse 11, it says, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. So I thought it was quite a fitting image to use. Now, last time I don't know whether you have seen this before, in Sentosa, there's this snake charmer. Have you seen? No, huh? My time. Anyway, my time, they used to have one. Every time you take the cable car and you get off it, there's this snake charmer who is an Indian man, and he is... none of you, The older ones also, no? Gabe, you've seen it before? Right, you've seen before? I'm not just telling you fake news or whatever. It's true. So I'm always fascinated as a young person looking at the snake and how it's charmed. And we understand that it is the snake charmer that has control over the snake, right? It is under control. So a babbler is like a snake who is not, it is not charmed. Chama. If you understand Hokkien, you understand what I'm saying. It is one who is foolish, who is not able to control what he says. So that's what a babbler is like. He doesn't think, he's unwise, he's unskilled with words, and things will not turn out well for him. Right? This is the problem when you do not have the wisdom of words. We all recognize that words are important in your job, how you communicate, is vital. How things are presented. And some of you are in marketing, some of you are in publicity, some of you, the way you do things, the way you present things or communicate is so crucial, because change of words, it just changes everything, everything about the meaning of the words. And I think when we communicate with each other, in the context of family, relationships, context of work, context, even church, how you say things, what you say matters. Now look at verse 12, and he says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. And we're going to focus on this. What are gracious words? So we look at a person who is truly foolish. He's a babbler. He just says whatever. There's no proper control. Right? And yet, you have someone who is wise, and his words are the exact opposite. They are gracious words. So we want to ask ourselves, what we say to our family members, to our friends, to the people around us, are they gracious words? Because we can actually connect gracious words to wise words, rather than not. Right? What are gracious words? They are, and it's not about the gift of the gap. No, it's not just about, well, I can put things in a way that is more effective, it comes across more beautifully. And so it's not about that kind of thing. It's really about what grace is all about. A gracious word will come out from someone who is actually gracious. You are a gracious person. Right? What are gracious words? Gracious words are words that are deep. They're not shallow words. They are thought through words. And they're words that are insightful, and definitely they are true words. Nothing false would be gracious at all, because anything that is false would be used to deceive, and so on. Right? So this person would have grace, he would be very careful in what he says, rather than someone who has no control whatsoever. Right? So it's crucial for us to understand what these words are. Right? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. So he's not reactive. He's lots kinder. He is wiser. And I think that's very important. So let's ask ourselves, do we speak words that are gracious? We all need to be very conscious about what we say to each other and whether there is grace, whether there's insight, whether there's that. Because even as pastors, we are also very conscious. Are we saying words? When I counsel, when I talk to people, are they gracious words or are they words that are just said out of, you know, on the top of your mind? Now, it doesn't go down well, it is not well received. That's something that we ought to avoid. So, when we look at this person, he is wise, right? The opposite is really a fool. So you look at verse 12. But the lips of a fool shall swallow him up, right? And he goes on in verse 13. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. Wow. See, that's the problem. Sometimes when we talk about words that are shallow, it ends up being damaging. Sometimes we tend not to think about the consequences. But sometimes words can hurt, and it can hurt badly. Words can end up causing you to be swallowed up by your own words. And that's a very interesting way of putting it. The lips of a fool shall swallow him up. You will be, in a way, affected by your own words. And that becomes a problem. Right? The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. What happens is that it starts bad, and as he talks more, it gets worse and worse until you end up with raving madness. Who does this describe? Right? And you tend to think, oh, these words are ancient words. Actually, they are so applicable today. Right? You end up with madness. And people are just wondering what's happening. Right? He just ends. The end of his talk is raving madness. Verse 14, a fool also multiplies words. Right? Basically, he cannot control. He just talks and talks and talks. Right? And the more he talks, it gets worse. The more he just reveals and confirms how reckless this person is. And it just reflects who he is. It's just foolishness. Verse 14, no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? What's going to happen? No one knows. Can't tell. Right? What is the consequence of this foolish man's words? Nobody knows. What is going to happen? I don't know. And then in verse 15, the labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. So a foolish man can labor. Everybody can labor, whether you're wise or you're foolish. Right? But you can end up laboring and you become weary and you don't know where you're going. At the end of the day, you don't even know how to go back to the city. It's just a total lack of direction. That's what he's trying to say here. You have no idea where to go. And then it becomes a problem. Right, I don't know whether you've come across such a person. Isn't that dangerous? I find it very dangerous. When someone speaks words without thinking, and you end up with all kinds of consequences, it becomes a real problem. Okay, Gabe, we have not heard from you for a long time. Yes.
Okay. I think, this is very applicable to what I do, because at least in physio, we actually learn, and there are many studies and papers that come out to talk about how words and language have a very important influence on our patients as well.
Absolutely, yes.
So, for example, a lot of people have come to me and say that like their joints are degenerative and it's bone-on-bone type of things.
Yeah.
And when things are said like that, it gives them they get very scared.
Yeah.
When actually it's just normal age-related changes.
Yes.
So words are very important in my work.
Please, very, very important. Right, because you're right. Sometimes doctors, and I always keep hearing this, nothing against doctors. Jane is doing very well. She's very gracious. Right? But you're right. Sometimes doctors, they don't have the grace to be able to say what is, kind and gracious, and so that the patient can be able to appreciate where you're coming from, rather than you make it worse for them. Already they are facing this problem. So you recognize this in the course of your work, in anything that you do, words truly matter. Okay, Alistair, what do you think? You are in the hospital.
Yeah, so I think at the workplace, sometimes it's about being professional.
Yes.
But I think at home is where I think graciousness needs to be a bit more practiced. Not for me to practice.
The wife is like,
I think for me to practice, because
yes,
you tend to be a bit more curt and more blunt.
Correct, you're right. Absolutely.
At home, and
yes,
I assume that you understand.
Yes,
that it will come across wrongly. Yeah,
absolutely. Even to the wife, to your family members, to parents, to your siblings, to, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of words. What you say is so important. And especially for us, if you want to continue to grow and perfect holiness in your life and applying the things that we have learned in camp, this is so important. Gracious words. And I recognize this. When I counsel someone, I'm always trying to understand. First of all, I'm trying to understand this person and his issue, his problem, his difficulty. And yet at the same time, when I bring things across, I may have certain perspectives that I'd like to bring across to this person, but it's how I say it. That matters. Even though you may be right, but if you say it wrongly, you're also wrong. It's how you are able to bring things across that's going to, as you say, encourage, uplift. Already the person is discouraged. Already the person is feeling, right? Oh yeah, I got this problem, bone problem or whatever, and you're going to make it worse for the person. Many times I've seen this happen, whether it's regards to my own family members or Chinky's family members, the doctors will say certain things and it just makes it worse. They can tell things in a far better way that is going to be more palatable and gracious. And I think that's very important. Right? Okay. Get the wife to respond. Davina, what do you think? True or not?
No, I think whatever he says is true. I mean, for both of us at home or like with our family, it's the ones who are closest to you where you let your guard down sometimes also and you just speak as you wish, right? But if graciousness starts from home, then wherever you go, you also want to practice it. So yes. I think that's
it. I like what you say. Graciousness starts at home. Right? Courtesy starts at home. Right? I think that's very important. If you're right. It's where you let your guard down and everything else comes out. That's the problem, you see. You speak from the heart and then you react from the heart and you... And sometimes we just say things after that, you realize, I shouldn't say that. And I know that all of us, and we all end up with that. Shouldn't have said that. We should have said it better. We should have brought things a bit better. We all can learn from this. Don't end up being an uncharmed snake, right? You don't know what is charm, you know, in Hokkien means, right? Charm means dire, right? Or this is bad, or whatever. That's what it means. Correct, right? Those Hokkien, yeah. So it's important for us to learn how we can actually use words that are far more encouraging, far better, far more gracious. Now, let's move on a little bit. Okay, we're going to try and... Let's learn to have better perspectives, right? Especially from the book of Proverbs. And I like this. Let's turn to Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22, verse 11, we read, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." Now, that's very interesting. We've been, like what Liania said, right? We've been talking, our pastor has been talking about the heart, and we've been talking about the heart the whole week. And notice the heart is connected to the lips. If you were to read Matthew 15, it talks about how out of, you know, whatever is in your heart, it comes forth, defilement and so on. But look at this. He who loves what? Purity of heart. If we have purity of heart, grace will be on your lips. So it reflects. If you don't have grace on your lips, then what is in your heart? That's something for us to think about too, you see. Right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Isn't that one of the Beatitudes? And if we say that we truly love purity of heart, grace will be on your lips. If you have a pure heart, you will say words that are truly gracious. And the king, even the king appreciates that, right? And we talk about sanctifying of the heart and so on. Then it would actually affect your words, right? And I think that is really important. Now let's look at Proverbs 31, verse 26. And we read, she opens her mouth. This is the Proverbs 31 lady, right? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness, graciousness. Sometimes it's not easy, but yet this is what it means for us to be wise, to have purity of heart, to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. It is to be wise. Do we need to be, you know, shouting and being angry and use all kinds of curt words and so on? There is no need to. Why don't we learn to be kinder to each other? Why don't we be a bit more gracious? The world is what it is already, right? Don't make it worse for each other, for anybody. Why don't we learn to find that connection, a purity of heart, with grace on his lips, to have wisdom and kindness. I like the connection. The connection between what are gracious words, what are kind words. It reflects your heart. It reflects whether you are foolish or whether you are wise. I think that's important for us to recognize. Right? And it is just learning how to appreciate wisdom. Now, let's look at the Lord Jesus. When I was reading this, when I was studying this, I was taking time to just remember the Lord Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, it says, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, of course, we look to the Lord Jesus as the example. He is the perfect example. He is someone who is full of grace and truth. So, again, we connect grace and truth, right? If you want to speak truth, it has to be, you know, with grace, right? And we beheld his glory. There is a glory about grace and truth. So when we think about the Lord Jesus and how he was able to express these things, now let's turn to Luke 4. I hope you have been taking time to read about the Lord. That's something that I've sought to do after camp. I wanted to read the Gospels. I want to read about the Lord Jesus even more. And it's been a joy just reading, you know, a couple of chapters a day just to focus on the Lord. And look at verse. So in Luke 4, we see how the Lord Jesus quoted Isaiah and when he was teaching in the synagogue, right? And he read it, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Verse 18. Proclaim liberty, heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight, and so on. And then, right, and then he said, today, verse 21, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Gracious words. Why? Because these words were full of depth. He was able to quote the Old Testament. He could talk about its fulfillment. He could apply it to himself. And the people were able to see, wow, these are gracious words. To me, it is something that we want to really appreciate about the Lord Jesus. And He's our example. So let's ask ourselves, what kind of words do we use? Are they words that are truly gracious? And when I mean gracious, it is words that are not shallow, but deep. They are words that are full of wisdom. They are words that come from the scriptures. These are gracious words. Right? So it's not just about the idea. It is about being gracious, but it's even more than that. It is really being able to speak truth, insightful truths that would help others to be encouraged, to be uplifted, to recognize the wisdom behind those words. I recognize it's not easy. It does take a lot of thought and understanding. It does mean that we need to be more knowledgeable, more understanding, more wise, more discerning, which is absolutely important. But yet, they are words that we absolutely need to be able to talk to others, to relate with others. And it's something that I'm also learning for myself. I really want to be able to speak words that are truly gracious, being able to help others along the way, being able to talk in such a way that these words do matter to others. Okay, Cheryl, what do you think?
I think it's very true. I personally have been on the receiving end of many gracious words in a time when I need it.
Yeah,
so I think it is, I mean, it is speaks from the perspective of the person speaking, but I also think from the perspective of the person receiving it.
Yes.
Yeah, and
absolutely right.
I think for anyone who is in need of that grace, you would find this to be so much, to really be that grace really extended to you in a time of need and
yes.
trouble. Yeah,
yes,
I think
absolutely. Yeah. You're right. We all need those words that are going, and you're right, it is actually extending grace to the person. I think that's crucial in life's challenges and difficulties, and we will all face that. We all will require that kind of graciousness, and I think it's important for us to learn from that. And why don't we learn to do likewise? Why don't we return grace for grace? Why don't we learn to be a blessing to others? Right. So this morning we started resume our special needs program on Saturdays, and I was just sharing with them. I mean, actually, we have been going through 1 Peter, and so we are halfway, and I was just talking to them about what it means to be blessed. See, a lot of times we all look for things in life, right? We talk about blessings, job blessings, family blessings, material blessings, and God blesses us with different things. But yet at the same time, I told them that sometimes we need to rethink what blessings are from a different perspective. And especially, we are talking about spiritual blessings. Because for them, with special needs children, they can't compare with others, right? And so I was just telling them, look, when we look at how God blesses us, even with special needs children, actually, we may be far more blessed. And one by one, they talk and begin to tell us that it is their children, their special needs children, that are a blessing to them. I thought that was really amazing. Because it is, for quite a few of them, they talk about how those, that kind of perspective about how their children is a blessing is because it is their children that they come to know the Lord. They come to Bethany. They come to appreciate what we have here. And because of that, they have come to know the Lord. I mean, last week we had Thomas and Joyce who were baptized, and they are one of them, right? And the little boy, Asher, has come a long way. I still remember when, right, Davina, when he first came, he was wanting, he didn't want to go to class, he just wanted to play the lift, and he was going up and down and things like that, yeah. Right? He needed an uplift. And this is not gracious words, that's just jokes, right? We all understand it. But the thing is that, look at him now. So today, when I looked at him, so we were, Kevin, one of the other boys, special needs, he was celebrating his birthday. So I just sat next to him, and he was just so excited for him, right? And finally, when Kevin blew the candles, he threw the two candles, put it in the tissue, and then he was very happy. So he was just helping out, right? You just imagine that. I thought, wow, that's amazing for what he did. You know, and just to encourage the parents, and we were just very glad for each one who comes. Can we not uplift their hearts and encourage them and with gracious words? And that's what I'm seeking to do, and that's what we all can learn to do. And it comes from what? It comes from the Word of God. To me, it is so crucial that we share God's Word. A Word that is appropriate, words that are gracious, words that are going to bring an encouragement and change of perspective. You just imagine the change of perspective of how you see your special needs children. Many of them, they will start off with despair and discouragement and just being very devastated. But from there, devastation to seeing your child as a blessing. To go from there to A to B. You know how far that has, it's taken them years and years, but it's only with faith. Someone also shared, you know, she comes for our, you know, this special needs program, and we, you know, so I'll share the Lord's Word, and then all the parents will share with each other. She said there are other groups that she has joined, and you say, everybody just shares about their problems. I come away from it even more depressed because there's no encouragement. Everybody has no solution, no understanding that is going to uplift the heart. But I say from here, I get encouraged. From what? It's not my words. It's the words of the Lord. It's words that are from Scripture that are truly gracious because they are the words of God. They are the words of Christ. And to me, that is absolutely important, that we want to be able to share with others. And therefore, let's grow. Let's grow in our knowledge. Let's grow in our understanding of the Word of God. Let's grow in wisdom. Right? And when we have that wisdom, we will not make that mistake of saying things that are out of control. And you only cause harm, you only cause hurt, discouragement. What's the point of doing that? Right? Remember we studied James not too long ago? Well, at least most of you. Right? And we learned from James 3. How the tongue, if we don't control it, it will be like a wildfire. And it will just spread. And it just, it's not going to you know, it will just end up with all kinds of consequences. Grave consequences. But if we speak words that are wise and gracious, it is going to make all the difference. When you uplift the hearts of someone, it is going to mean everything to that person. We all recognize how discouragement can really affect a person. We all been there, right? Someone was just sharing with me about how that one of this person's nephew, you know, was depressed and was studying law and so on and so forth, and just, you know, have all kinds of depressive tendencies, and he ended up taking his life. You know, he was just sharing with me not too long ago, and that's unfortunate. That's the problem, you see. In this world, there's just so many things that are difficult. People are suffering. People are going through all kinds of difficulties. But can we learn to uplift the hearts of a person, right? And we have the example of the Lord Jesus that is so wonderful. Can we not share words that are going to be uplifting to others? So last night, Pastor Mish and I had a very interesting experience. So during family camp, I received an email. And this was an email from a friend, an old friend from college. Last time I saw him was over 35 years ago. So anyway, he reached out and he said, "Hey, let's meet." Right? I met somebody, and then he said, "Oh, let's try and meet up. Can we get Mark and Mitch to join us?" They say, "Sure." So I said, "Happy to." So last night we met up, and it was a joyful time, right? For Pastor Mitch and I, because they are old friends, we used to have a lot of fun during junior college days. We played water polo together, we traveled together, we did all kinds of fun things. One of them, he used to be the managing director of one of the top law firms in Singapore, American firm. I forget the name though. What's the top American firm? Don't know. What's the top American firm that comes to your mind? Huh? Just one? Anyway, he's one of the top. Or used to, right? So he's doing well and everything else. Another, he's into investing, right? He's looking after a few family office, for their investments. So they're all doing well. Another one is into risk management. And so we're just catching up and so on and so forth. And then one of them began to ask, "Oh, do you all have retreats as a church?" Wow. My brother and I, we went off. We just talk about family camp. We talk about the theme. We talk about everything. And two of them are not Christians, right? One of them is. But wow, we just went on and on, talking about groups, talking about what we taught, talking about. Well, it was a joy, just to share with them about our lives, our faith, our calling, and just to catch up. It was like 30 over years of catching up. But just to end, and it was such a uplifting time for in fact all of us. And if we could sow, some seeds along the way, hopefully. Right. When I was in junior college, I tried reaching out to them, but right, and over all these years, still not quite there. But they say, "Hey, I think we should meet up again." I say, "Okay, fine. If we can meet up, let's reach out. You never know how we can be a blessing and reach out." So it's learning how to be able to be encouragement to others. And even by reaching out, being a light, is just going to take gracious words. We are not going to be in your face and, we wait for you to ask questions, then we let go everything, A bit at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much joy that we can be able to share the Lord's word with others. And I hope you do, right? And just being able to share words that are going to make a difference. Sometimes we need to think. I don't know whether you actually pre-empt conversations. Most of us don't, you see. Sometimes when you look at relationships, and you know that sometimes when we talk, you may not have the right words. So sometimes it's good to actually pre-empt conversations. What is it that you are going to say to this person that is going to be useful, that is going to be uplifting, that is going to be encouraging? Rather than, you just meet up and or you talk to each other and they are just words that just doesn't go very far. Sometimes it's actually good to preempt. Even when you see each other, after a day's work, you come back, everybody just want to chill, everybody just want to vegetate, and as what Lenia say, doom scrolling. And and so on, whatever doom things you do, right? But I think if we learn to look forward to encouraging each other, right? Okay, I have this issue, but you know what? This is something that I learned and we can encourage each other with, right? Okay, think about it. Let's pray and then we can have our tea. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this lesson of learning to be wise with our words. May we continue to deepen our understanding, especially through your words, to be able to share words that are kind, gracious, and words that are going to bring an uplift and encouragement to others. We pray that you will bless us. We pray that even as we give our offering, that you will bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.